Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here and for your presence. Father, I pray that you'd be with all those that are sick and hurting this morning, those at home, that your healing hand would be upon them. Lord, I pray now as the sermon is delivered that, Lord, no one would hear my voice, but they would hear your voice speaking to them personally. Father, that I would just be a vessel used of you this morning, that you'd meet the needs here, that you'd change lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Last week I had a verse or a sermon ready for on pride, and as I was preparing the sermon, I thought, Lord, this really is for me, and I guess it was for me because I didn't get to preach it last week, and so maybe we'll get to it, but it's something that the Lord's been showing me in myself, areas of pride in my life that I need to deal with, it's kind of cool when God's showing you things about yourself, and how you need to change it and changes you need to make. But, this week, honestly, all I've done all week is lay in bed or sit in a chair. I was bored out of my mind. I'm not a person that likes to sit around and lay around. It was pretty horrible. But I just kept praying, and the song Sheltered in the Arms of God just kept coming to my mind, and that's what I texted Mitzi earlier in the week and asked if we could sing that song today because God is awesome. Amen. God is awesome, and He will see us through every trial, every circumstance, everything that's going on in our life. The title of the message today is For the Battle is the Lord's, and I was really I'm going to get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. About two or three weeks ago, I had this thought in my mind, and so I'll get to it, but I'm going to begin with, I'm just going to read about three verses. If you guys want to open your Bibles, you can open to 1 Samuel 17. We'll be there in about an hour. No, I'm kidding. Psalms 34:19 says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. You hear that? A righteous man may have many troubles. It's not a promise when you follow Jesus that you're not going to have troubles, is it? It says a righteous man may have many troubles. Has anybody in here ever had troubles? I have troubles. It seems like almost every week there's something. If not every week, then at least once a month. There's some kind of trouble. There's some kind of trial. But it says, even though we may have many troubles, the Lord will deliver you from them all. That's an awesome thought to think about how God is our deliverer. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help when you're in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. Last Sunday when I was sitting there and I was discouraged, and I was hurting, and I told Crystal, I said, I can handle this pain. It's just knowing when it's going to end. Like I'm gritting my teeth, I'm doing whatever, I'm moving and everything, and I'm like, I can handle this, but it's just not knowing of when it's going to be over. You know, you get the flu, you get a sore throat, you get a cold, you get something, you think, well, I'm going to be sick maybe 3 or 4 days and it'll pass. With this, I had no idea what it was, so I know I can handle it, but just how long am I going to have to handle it? And I just kept crying out to God, and I think He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. See, when you're going through those situations, when you're going through those trials, when you're going through those struggles, sometimes I've seen God touch people and boom, they're healed. Other times, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but there's other times that we have to go through things. From either the enemy attacking us, learning things, but God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, church, I'm going to tell you, I've had a very blessed life. I can't even begin to tell you what a blessed life I've had. No major tragedies, no
major things that totally transform my life. I've had a very blessed life. Not all of you have. Some of you have had tragedy. Some of you have had terrible things happen in your life. But when you're going through those things and you are a child of God, He's there to uphold you. Maybe some of you are going through something this morning right now and nobody even knows about it. It's deep down in your heart. It's deep down in your mind. And there's a struggle that you're fighting. There's something going on. God will uphold you with His righteous right hand. And where I began to think about all this is, have any of y'all ever flown in a plane? I see a lot of heads nodding and everything. And so a few weeks ago when I was out driving and delivering, I was thinking about flying in a plane. The last time I flew in a plane was when I was 13 years old. And I don't know, I think I flew maybe once or twice before then. I'd have to ask my dad. I remember being a little kid flying in a plane and they gave you wings. When you were back then, the airlines would give all the little kids wings to wear, and I remember that. But the flight when I was 13, I really remember. But I was thinking about flying an airplane, and we have some pilots here. One of our pilots is missing this morning. Brandon passed a test last week, so you guys, next time you see Brandon, make sure you tell him congratulations. But we have a lot of pilots in here, but I was thinking about when you're flying in that airplane. And I'm not a pilot, but I think when I was reading it, when you reach like 8,000 feet, the cab has to be pressurized. Is that right? About 8,000 feet, you got to be pressurized cabin. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But you get to so high, and the plane has to be pressurized. But when you're sitting in that plane, all of you that's flown, what are you doing? You're not operating any controls, are you? Excluding our pilots in here. You just sit back, relax. You know, looking out the window, looking at the clouds, seeing what's going on. Some of you might not be relaxed if you fly like me. You might be a little nervous, you know, but that plane is carrying you and you're protected by that shell around you. Now, is there anything when you're hovering at 8,000 feet that would make you decide, well, I'm going to jump out of this plane? I mean, unless you're a daredevil skydiver, what if the movie that they're playing you don't like? Well, I've seen this movie before. I'm just going to bail out. Well, they quit serving peanuts. They didn't give me peanuts. I'm going to jump out of this plane. Well, that captain is boring me to death. He's not interacting and making this trip fun. So I'm just going to jump out of this plane. You guys say, Pete, that's stupid, right? Yes, that is stupid. But how many of us, when we've just read how God strengthens us, how God helps us in our times of trouble, how God's righteous right hand will hold us up, we're going through a trouble, we're going through a trial, we've hit some turbulence, and we say, God, where are you? And we bail. And we quit going to church. And we quit reading our Bible. We quit praying because God just hasn't met His end of the bargain, we say. Is this making sense to anyone this morning? I mean, that's about as dumb as they didn't serve me peanuts, so I'm parachuting out of this plane. See, God is there. And so many times when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a struggle, we're saying, God, where are you? When we don't understand that things are at work and things are going on, and even though we're sitting in the seat calm and relaxed in an airplane, that pilot is managing the controls. He's in radio contact making sure everything's right. He is making sure that this plane is going to be safe and that you're going to fly right through these clouds or that storm or whatever it is. And so often, many of us, I think we're in the middle of something and we say, God, where are you? But we don't understand. He's working on things and He's working things out. And I think too many times people bail on God. They bail on church. They bail on a situation instead of just relying upon God and saying, God, that you're there to lift me up. You're there to hold me up, that you're an ever-present help in times of trouble. Does this make sense to anyone this morning? Now we're in 1 Samuel 17, and this was really the verses that kept coming to my mind. And this is where David is facing Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, and it said, David said to the Philistine,
You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. What are you battling today? What are you struggling with in this new year? Is there something that you're going through? Is there a sin that's got you tangled up? Is there a family crisis? Is there an ache in your heart that just doesn't seem to be healing? What is it that you're going through today? Do you ever stop and say, God, I can't handle this? If that airplane's hovering up there and flying and the captain says, Pete, come up, I need you to fly the plane, I'd say, nope, get someone else. I have no idea. We're going to go in a nosedive if I take the control. And see, so often though, we want to take the control. We want to grab hold because we don't agree with God's timing. We don't agree with what's taking place. And I love that when it says, let me find it. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Can I tell you something? When you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a trial, and you continue to praise God, you continue to seek God, the world knows. The world knows when you have put your trust in God and God alone. And you're not trusting in the circumstances. You're not trusting in what your eyes see. You're not trusting in friends or family or anything else. But your trust lies solely in the Lord. The world will know. But when we abandon ship, when we parachute out, then we're no different than the world. We're no different than anyone else. But I love this, that the battle is the Lord's. For how many of us, when we're in the middle of a storm, we really stop and we cry out and say, God, I need you. I need you to see me through. God, I can't fight this battle on my own. Y'all, every Sunday that I get up here and preach, it's got to be the Lord, because it ain't Pete. I'm not smart enough. I'm not articulate enough. I can't do it. It's got to be the Lord that sent me up here and gets me up here to preach every week. And so often, if I get too caught up in it, I'll blow it. I got to step back. I got to pray. I got to say, Lord, what would you have me preach about? What would you have me teach? What would you have me do? And how many of us, when we're right in the middle of a battle, we say, Lord, this fight's your fight. In Deuteronomy 24:20, verse 4, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and gives you victory. How many of us are still out fighting our own battles? How many of us are still trying to figure it out instead of relying upon God and going, God, I need your help more than anything? And some of you might be saying today, well, what battle are you even talking about, Pete? Well, Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our battle, so often we think it's that coworker, that guy at work that's always making fun, that guy at work that's gossiping, that woman that's always backstabbing at work. What we see people, we see flesh, and we think that's the problem, but we don't understand that that's the spiritual realm, that's Satan trying to destroy us, that's Satan trying to trip us up, that there's battles going on for each and every one of us in our thoughts, in our minds, and the things that we watch on television, the things we listen to on the radio, what's it bringing into our life, and it's destroying us, and all these battles are going on, and some of us, we don't even realize we're in a battle. We don't even realize the stuff that we're taking in, the garbage, and we're looking at that guy and saying, man, he's such a jerk, or that woman, she's so mean. Why is she always talking bad about me? But it's Satan at work trying to destroy us. It's Satan at work trying to ruin our testimony. Hebrews 12 says that we throw off every sin that so easily entangles us, but because there's such a great cloud of witnesses. I know I'm not quoting that just right, but such a great cloud of witnesses throw off every sin that so easily entangles you. You think about that. Such a great cloud of witnesses. I didn't do a lot of research in this, but have you ever thought that there's a great cloud of witnesses watching your life? Maybe up in heaven they're looking down right now and they're saying, Casey, I just seen what you did. That's awesome. You resisted that temptation. You resisted. You stood strong. They might be saying, Peter, I saw the way you reacted at work. That was awesome. That was great. Or would it be Pete? I seen how you just cut that guy off in traffic and you're boiling with anger. You ever think that there's a heavenly realm that's watching us and all that we're doing? I believe there is. I believe there is, that there's a heavenly realm watching and seeing all that we're doing. And so do we understand that we have a battle to fight? I don't want to get too far into it today. Y'all, I had so much this week, I had to just keep cutting down. My pages are full, and I'm like, I'll have them here all day. But there's so much that goes with this and knowing that the battle is the Lord's. And I think sometimes that when we're in the middle of a storm, when we're in the middle of the battle against the spiritual forces, that we have to just stop. We have to sit down in our seatbelts and buckle up and say, God, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own, but I can through you. You say, well, Pete, I don't understand. How do I put all this into practice? How can I really apply this to my life? Well, just like the captain of the airplane, he gives instructions, and as he's flying the plane, the Lord gives us instructions as we're living our lives. And that's how we apply it to our life. It's through obedience. If the captain comes on and says, buckle your seatbelts, you buckle your seatbelt, right? And if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. If the captain, I don't know what all the captain does. I ain't flown since I was 13, but I remember when I was 13, our plane I thought was crashing and it kept dropping out of the sky and everybody that wasn't buckled was flying out of their seats. Scared me to death. I've never flown again. But that captain come on and is giving instructions as the plane's flopping and doing all that through the air. And I was like, so the captain's telling us what we need to do to protect ourselves. How many of us are listening to the captain, our Lord and Savior, each and every day so that we have instructions, so that we have guidance, so we can truly say, the battle is yours, Lord. In Exodus 23:22, it says, if you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. Isn't that something? If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that he says, I will be an enemy to your enemy and will oppose all those who oppose you. You know, when I don't know why I just thought of this. I was pretty bad in high school. And there was a kid that was a year older than me in high school, and in basketball, I'd swatted him, and he was taller than me, and I was mouthing him, making fun, because I'd swatted him. Swatted is hit the ball back in his face, for anybody that don't know. So I'm afterwards, we're all in the dressing room changing, and I'm right in the middle of changing clothes, and he comes up and shoves me, wanting to fight. Well, I was in the middle of changing, so I really couldn't fight. So I turn around, and I'm trying to get my clothes back up so I can fight. And about that time, my brother comes walking through. So my brother always thinks it's because my big brother walked in, but it wasn't. So I get my pants back on and I shove him and I'm like, come on, being stupid, ready to fight, you know. And ever since then, my brother teases me. It's just because your big brother walked in that you was ready to fight, because you knew that he would protect you and you weren't going to get beat up, you know. But that wasn't the case. Jeff. But in all that, fighting's wrong. I'm not. There was. It didn't even turn into a fight. The coach walked in and said, "What's going on? You guys, no fist or anything." But in all that, y'all, I'm thinking that when we have an enemy ready to attack us, who's better than my big brother? God. Who's better than your mom or dad? God. Who's better than the captain on an airplane? God. He says that I will be an enemy to your enemies, that those who oppose you, those people that are hurting you, those people that are harming you, those things that are going on in your life in the spiritual realms, if we would just stop and carefully obey what the Lord says and leave it in His hands and allow Him to fight the battles, how different would our life be? How different could things be? And maybe then we could be like here where they said that without a doubt we know that there is a God. Because you're not reacting, you're not treating them mean, you're not being ugly, you're not acting like the world. Jeremiah 7:23 says, But I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. Obedience, 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 that it may go well with you. Obedience, 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 that it may go well with you. And see, that's the whole thing is sometimes we're walking in disobedience and then we say, God, this is your battle. And He's saying, but you're not following me. You're not doing what I told you to do. And that's the whole thing is when we're walking in obedience and we're following God, then we can have peace, we can have rest. We can say, God, I know the victory is yours. The battles will come. The battles will come for every one of us. If you're not in a battle right now, you will be before this year's over, I promise you. The battle will come, but the victory comes in the Lord. And that's it. The victory comes in the Lord. It's not in our wisdom, it's not in our might. And as I was thinking about the airplane, I was thinking, I don't know, some of y'all probably wasn't even born yet, but I had to go back and look it up. But in 1999, there was a professional golfer named Payne Stewart. Does anybody remember the story of Payne Stewart? And he took off, I believe, from Orlando and was flying to Dallas in a private jet. And 25 minutes or so after they took off, they've lost radio contact with them, and they sent up fighter jets and everything else to see what was going on. And the inside of the plane had, they said it looked like it had frosted and iced over. And the plane missed its target, and I believe it ended up crashing in South Dakota when it finally had run out of fuel. And the wreckage was so bad that the National Transportation Safety Board couldn't fully determine what had caused the crash. The only thing that they had thought probably had happened is that something was not working right and the cabin didn't pressurize right and they lost their oxygen and they all just fell asleep and the plane flew until it crashed. The plane had malfunctioned. This guy, I think he was about 42 years old, a multimillionaire, had won several PGA tournaments. And just like that, a simple malfunction maybe cost him and the pilot, and I think there was maybe four people total on board, cost them all their lives. Y'all, that's what happens in the world. Pilots are going to make mistakes. Your bosses are going to make mistakes. Your mom and dad's going to make mistakes. You may make mistakes. But when we're following God wholeheartedly and we stop and say our victory is in the Lord, our victory is in the Lord, we will follow Him and we obey Him, we can have confidence. I want to read one more thing. I'm going to try and hurry. If you want to flip back a few books to Judges chapter 6. I think when you're talking about obedience and you're talking about the battle being the Lord's, that Gideon always comes to my mind. And in Judges 6, verse 12, mind you, Gideon's hidden down in the ground here. He's hidden. And angel of the Lord, in verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Here's this guy hidden, and the Lord's saying, mighty warrior. But sir, Gideon replied, and you guys, if you're falling asleep, wake up and hear this part. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about? And when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Can anybody relate to that? Where is God? God, why is this happening to me? God, why didn't I get that promotion? God, why can't does this not come to pass in my life? Why am I struggling so much with my finances? Why is my personal life a mess? Why did my wife leave me? Why do my kids hate, whatever it is? God, if you're really God, where are you? That's basically what He's saying. If God is really with us, then what's going on here? The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered him, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Anybody ever feel weak? Insignificant? You have trouble understanding the Bible. You have trouble memorizing scriptures. You say, God, how could you use me? He's saying, I'm the weakest. I'm the least. Anybody ever felt that way? I have. God, but you want to use me? You want to use me? And so he has Gideon go and tear down the altars to Baal and then jump over to chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that it's her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remain. They're all leaving. It's too hard. I'm scared. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will sift them for you. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like dogs from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go back, each to his own place. So you go from roughly 32,000 to 300. I like my odds better with 32,000. I don't know about y'all when you're going to fight. But obedience said, no, 300. Y'all, sometimes when you feel like you're at your weakest point, that's the very point that God's going to use you in something awesome and something mighty, that God's going to bring you victory. At the very moment when you feel like you can't go on anymore, when you are obedient and you're crying out and you say, God, I can't handle it anymore, that we're sheltered in His arms, that He grabs hold of us, that He lifts us up, that He fights the battle for us. Y'all, I could go on and on. In 1 Chronicles 20, it says, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God. And Exodus 14, around 13, 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you. And I think that it's interesting, and we didn't have time to go all in it, but right there, it's when Moses is leading out the people, and he says, just stand still here and be here for a minute, because the Lord will fight for you. And the Lord says to Moses, get up and get going. See, at that moment, it wasn't just being still. It was get up and get going, take your staff, and I'm going to part that Red Sea. It's still God's battle, but it's obedient and it's following and it's doing what He tells you to do. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's breaking off relationships. Sometimes it's changing workplaces. Sometimes it's someone smashing a TV where they have an addiction to something or getting rid of something. But can I tell you that you will never regret being all in following Jesus Christ and obeying Him wholeheartedly. And when the battles come, a righteous man may have many troubles. They're going to come. But God's there to bring us the victory. Let's stand. Lord, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for all that You're doing in my life and this church life. Lord, I pray for all those that are struggling right now, that may be going through something that nobody else could see, that nobody else knows. Father, that You would strengthen them right now. And Lord, those that need to make hard decisions, those that are going through something and they know that You've called them to make a change, to do something different, may You give them the strength, may You give them the courage right now to make those changes in their lives. Father, I thank You so much for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your compassion, for all the times that I've not been obedient, for all the times that I've failed and tried to fix things on my own. And Lord, may each and every one of us learn to rely upon You solely, Lord, and that we know that the battle is Yours, that if we would just follow You wholeheartedly with obedience, may we see the victory come. And every person in this room, may there be victory today. May You set us free. Maybe there's some jealousy. Maybe there's some anger. Maybe there's some resentment. Would You set us free? Maybe there's some addiction. Would You set us free this morning? And when the armies of the enemy come against us, may we know that we can have victory through following You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open. I want to encourage you guys, if you are struggling with something, look it up and grab a verse and write it down and put it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror or something that the Lord gave me to do this week. It's not something that I have a real hard time memorizing Bible verses. Does anybody else have a hard time? I like remember Bible verses, but I'd say, well, I know it's in that area, but I have trouble. So something the Lord gave me to do this week is I made my screensaver on my phone a Bible verse. And I'm going to read it every day and look at it every day. And when I get it, then I'll put another one. But if you're struggling with something, put that Bible verse on something that you're going to see all the time, because God's Word is what can change you. God's Word is what can give you faith. If you're struggling with something, God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalms 46:1. You just write it down. You memorize it. You put it somewhere. Because faith comes by hearing the Word, and it's that Word getting inside of us that it'll build our strength, it'll build our faith, and it'll get you through. And so just maybe a little hint, something that you can try to do in this new year. I'm gonna try and get some more verses deep down in my heart, in my spirit, in my soul by doing that with my phone, to just have it always in me hearing God's Word. And so you guys, thank you so much. I love each and every one of you. If you're struggling with anything, I'm a phone call away. I'll come at any moment if anybody ever needs anything and pray for you and counsel with you or whatever. And so let's all walk in victory in this new year. May this year be like no other. I feel like we need to build up our strength. We don't know. We don't know when the battle's coming. I didn't know till Saturday evening I wouldn't be here on Sunday. It just hit me. You don't know when the battle's coming, but you got to be prepared when it comes so that you can have victory. And so y'all have a blessed afternoon. Men's meeting 6:30 Wednesday night.